Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all of our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Mukbil Yabaro. You'll all be with me the next 2 weeks as I fill in for Sunny. Now welcome to the July 24th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We'll start off today's show with a conversation I had with my VOA colleague Kali Abdu about the Women's World Cup. We discuss how are the African teams doing, any potential teams that can dethrone America, and breakout players to watch in the tournament. Have a listen. On the show today, we have with us my good friend and VOA colleague, Kali Abdu. Kali, thanks for joining us today.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Yes. So we are going to be diving deep into the Women's World Cup that has been very, very exciting. Starting us off, the U.S. Women's National Team are trying to three-peat with their third World Cup in a row and are the favorites as the number one ranked team in the world. Kali, outside of the U.S., what other teams do you think can potentially dethrone them?
So I think the U.S. women's national team they're certainly favorites to win the World Cup again, but I think there are a couple other teams that could challenge them. When you talk about teams like France, Germany, Netherlands, Australia, and also England, these are the top six, so-called top six in the world, according to FIFA rankings. And when you look through their squads, you see the kind of experienced players that they have, talented players. You know, you definitely have to put them in the reckoning. France and Germany have, let me look at my research here. France and Germany have both reached the semifinals in the last five tournaments. You know, Netherlands were runners up in 2019, and also they won the Euros in 2017. And, you know, you talk about England. They won the Euros last year, so they're pretty strong as well.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm looking at those teams potentially as well.
Yeah, no, I think those are solid teams. Just off top mentioning Germany, you know, Germany had just beaten Morocco 6-0. Very, very devastating loss for the African side. Going to the African teams, there are four African teams in the Women's World Cup. Nigeria, Zambia, South Africa, and as I just mentioned, Morocco. How are these teams doing, and what is the likelihood of them getting out of the group stages into the knockout phases?
Well, they all have different levels of experience. I mean, you mentioned Morocco, who are pretty much one of the youngest teams in the entire tournament, all right? Or, you know, it's they don't have the same experience,
right,
as the rest. Like when you talk about in Nigeria, South Africa, Nigeria is the most likely to go furthest just because based on the experience.
Mm-hmm.
But they're playing in a tough group. You know, their group comprises Canada, Australia, and Republic of Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
So they have, you know, quite a challenge in front of them. Zambia, which is making its debut, has one of the best players in Africa right now, Barbara Banda, who has scored 18 goals in 13 games in the Chinese league.
Yeah.
So she's definitely one to watch, you know, coming off of the controversy about her gender as well. She's looking like she has a point to prove. And, you know, South Africa, they've been there, you know, and done that. They have quite a lot of experience. But at the same time, you know, these tournaments, you come in and you may be well prepared, but you just never know.
Yeah, no.
So, you know, I think Nigeria has the best chance of qualifying to the knockout stage.
Nigerian side has played Canada and they drew 0-0,
mm-hmm.
which is a great, honestly, I think it's really good for Nigeria
point, yeah.
because the Canadian side also is their Olympic team, Olympic champions, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So to go 0-0, I think is was really good for them. They have Australia next and they play Ireland. As for Zambia, you know, they lost, unfortunately, to the Japanese side 5-0, which was a very devastating loss, but not the biggest loss because Germany beat Morocco 6-0. And then South Africa, lost to Sweden 2-1. Right. Seeing all of the matches, Nigeria draws and then the rest of the three teams lose, right?
Right.
What can the African teams do to better their chances in this tournament and for next World Cups to come?
I think there are a few things they could do. I you know, some of them may sound cliche, but it's they're true, you know. They need to, their countries need to invest more in football development at all levels. And as we all know, it starts from the grassroots level. You got to start going towards young girls, making the game appealing to them in their schools and, you know, and so forth. And really just providing more opportunities for girls who take interest in a sport to be able to go pro, which means you have to invest in the local leagues. You know, you have to have women's, there's a lot of men's teams already doing well, Africa Champions Leagues and all that, but you need the women's teams also to you know, be given a path to all of that. You got to also improve the coaching, I would say. Maybe, you know, getting some foreign coaches to come in and work in tandem with the local coaches always helps, because the foreign coaches have so much experience. And then just, you know, lately there's been a lot of talk about salaries and all of that. And you got to increase the exposure and visibility of the women's sport so that more people come to watch the games at the stadiums and pay to watch the games at home, because that's where it starts. So then the teams have more money, right? The club teams have more money, which then would translate to the national teams having more money, because the football associations would take, you know, the women's sport more seriously and put more money, allocate more budget towards their sport. And then also just generally, like we were talking off camera, just improving equality, you know, just opening avenues for women who have played the sport or who are just knowledgeable about the sport to participate. And whether it's broadcasting, whether it's whatever, you know, it entails.
Yeah, no, I really love that last point. I think it's very important that we continue to amplify, you know, women's sports. And as you mentioned, you know, sometimes the, you know, when a pro player in all men's sports stops playing a sport, his next job title is broadcasting.
Right.
He just jumps into it. It's a natural progression for them.
Right.
Why is that not the same case for the elite players as well, for the women's sports? I think if that starts to happen, you know, it is happening a little bit more in basketball, I'm seeing, but I would love to see it in football as well, going in that direction. If I was to ask you about any potential sleeper teams that you may not have listed at the top of your list, a dark horse or two, if you will, to win the World Cup, Women's World Cup. Who do you think?
I'm really looking at Spain, because people don't mention Spain as much. But when you look at Spain, they have one of the best players in the world, Alexia Putellas, because she won the Ballon d'Or twice. It's just that she didn't play last year in the Euros because she was injured. So Spain wasn't a reckoning like that, but she's back, you know. And an interesting thing about Spain, when I was doing my research, I didn't know, but they've won their last 13 matches in all competitions.
Right.
And they scored like 53 goals, only conceding 3. And you know,
they're on fire. Momentum.
Yeah, once you get that momentum.
Right.
Like we saw, you know, talk about the men's sport a little with Manchester City coming and overtaking Arsenal only because of that momentum.
Right.
You go on a 13 game run,
it's hard to stop.
So Spain are on one of those right now, so we should definitely watch out for them. Then you also have China. You know, they have reached 2 World Cup finals and they played in 6 Olympic tournaments. So and they have a couple experienced players who play in Europe, you know, people like Li Ying and so forth. And then lastly, I'm looking at Italy, because they've been there, you know. They've been there and thereabouts in the last couple of tournaments. They're always there. So you can't really rule them out. And earlier I mentioned Canada too. Canada, like the U.S. women's national team, they take it very seriously. Mm-hmm. So even if they may not have had the same success as the U.S., but they're always there as well. You have to look out for them, you know. As you see, they played with Nigeria, you know, and a 0-0, but their quality was there for all to see.
Yeah, no, I like those picks. And I think I agree with them as well. If I was to throw one more in there, maybe the Brazil side.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, potentially. You know, the Samba girls, you know, they kind of get overlooked because of the guys sometimes.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Man, they just finished up playing their game. It ended 4-0.
Mm.
So, you know, they have a bunch of potential up top as well. And just their stylistically, they're always a difficult matchup for people. Because of their dancing, you know.
I think
they'll be cool.
No, you're right.
Lastly, before we get out of here, any specific players to watch in the tournament? You've mentioned a couple just now.
I would say Barbara Banda, even though, you know, they played their first game and lost badly.
Yeah.
But still, you know, you could still see her quality. You know, like I said, she has a point to prove. She scored 18 goals in 13 games.
Yeah,
last
that's huge.
Season. That's, you know, those are Haaland numbers.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So, you can't sleep on that. And then I would say Morocco has this player, Chebak. She plays for Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was reading, I saw, you know, some of her... She has, like, really impressive traits. Like, she's a creative forward. She could play on the wing as a striker. She can dribble, has great speed. So even though, again, they also lost badly, but I feel like...
She created some looks,
yeah,
though. She was getting in there. She was getting in the mix. I remember she had one, like, really good look from outside the 18 where she kind of put some power
so
behind
you can
it.
See her quality.
Oh, for sure. It's there. So I think I loved what you mentioned about Morocco earlier on. It's a very young team,
yeah.
You know. I think for them, it's just the inexperience.
Right.
It's not necessarily the quality of the players.
Right, right.
It's the inexperience of them being able to play together and playing on this big stage together.
Yeah, man. Come on. Mm-hmm. And the referee blows that whistle and the fans start screaming and demanding.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different proposition. Mm-hmm. You need that experience. You need to almost turn everything off and just concentrate and do your job.
Yeah.
And so many of these players, young players, don't have that experience, but now they do. And so maybe in subsequent tournaments, they did come into their own. But I also wanted to mention... you know, there's a U.S. player, one that doesn't really get mentioned all the time because, you know, we mentioned the favorites all the time. But Katerina Macario, she was born in Brazil.
Okay.
So originally Samba girl, but she became a naturalized citizen. And she's also very versatile. She's a playmaker. She can score from the midfield. You know, one of those, you know, mm-hmm. sorry to use a male analogy again, but Frank Lampard type of players. Right,
right, right.
Who can score from the midfield, Steven Gerrard, you know.
Right.
So, and she also plays in Europe. She plays for Olympique de Lyon in France.
Mm-hmm.
And she's won 2 league titles and 1 Champions League. So...
Hey,
you know,
that resume is heavy.
Yeah, so I'm looking at players like that potentially break out.
Amazing conversation, Kali. Loved having you on. We'll definitely revisit a conversation potentially in a knockout phase. Always good having you on.
Yes, sir. Anytime.
In other football news, an African women's football analyst says African champion South Africa played well despite losing to Sweden in their FIFA's Women's World Cup Group G game. Sweden came from behind to defeat Banyana Banyana 2-1 in a game played at Westpac Stadium in Wellington, New Zealand. Faith Olichi, the media officer of Nigeria's national under-17 women's football team, says the African champions matched the Swedish team's energy but lost the game due to inexperience, having scored first. She says Banyana Banyana has chances of doing well in their remaining games against Argentina and Italy. Olichi spoke to reporter Mike Mbonye about the outcome of the Group G game.
Well, I think it was a good match for Bayern of South Africa playing against a top side like Sweden, and knowing that they were going to this World Cup as African champions, they knew that a lot was on their shoulder to show that their winning the Nations Cup wasn't a fluke, that they deserved to have African title. So they went into the match and they didn't show respect to the Swedish side. They played toe-to-toe against their opponent, and they got the first goal first, and unfortunately for them, they couldn't keep up the pace, you know. And I think the Swedish side used experience, more of experience, to beat them in that match. But generally for Bayern, I don't think they were disgraced. They did it very well. They played well. And if they can build up to get something in their subsequent matches, it's a very good match for the Bayern. They wouldn't bow their heads in shame because they did well. They just have to put in enough effort in subsequent matches.
At the time, Bayern of South Africa scored first and led Sweden. What happened to the African champion?
It's a matter of concentration when you're playing a top side like Sweden that has a lot of experience, having played in World Cup several times. You just have to have that full concentration for 90 minutes. But I think that was what South Africans lacked in the match. Having scored in the 48 minutes, they were losing a lot of balls. The pressure was mounting up, and they weren't able to soak the pressure until in the 65th minute when the Sweden got their equalizer. And it was a goal they shouldn't have given away, but they couldn't soak the pressure. They lost a lot of concentration. I think they were getting tired. Yes, they were really getting tired in the game. And the player that scored their own goal, Magai, left, was removed, and Katlana was really alone. I think also Katlana was also tired at a point in the match, and they considered the late goal in the 90th minute is something that shouldn't have happened, because if they had had a lot of concentration, they should have ended that match 1-1. But unfortunately for them, they couldn't clear their line. It was a goal they shouldn't have considered, that second goal. They shouldn't have considered that second goal, but they didn't clear their line, and that was how their opponent ran away with a 2-1 victory. It's quite unfortunate for Bayern.
Which team will Bayern play next in Group G, and what are their chances?
South Africa will be playing their second match against Argentina, and they know that is a match they must get a result. Argentina will be playing Italy on Monday. So as of now, South Africa doesn't know if Argentina is going to get a point against Italy. But whichever way, they should just know that they have to prepare very hard. They just have to prepare very hard. They know they need to get a result against Argentina, because if they lose that match, they might not be able to make it to the next stage. So what they have to do now, go back to training, correct the lapses. I mean, the coaches have seen the lapses, and now they have to build and make sure they correct their mistakes. And if they can get a good result, yes, the way they played against Sweden today shows a lot of determination. If they put in extra effort, it's possible for South Africa to beat Argentina. And if they beat Argentina, why not? They could also get a result against their last opponent in the group, Italy. And from there, they can even get to the next round of the competition.
That was Faith Olichi, an African women's football analyst. She spoke with reporter Mike Mbonye on the phone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria. Earlier this month, former Chelsea star and two-time African Footballer of the Year Didier Drogba launched a campaign to raise awareness about the uptick in fake agents who take advantage of young players, particularly across Africa. My VOA colleague Gwen Uten tells us more. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Mokbill. For years, young footballers have fallen prey to big money schemes by fake agents who peddle false promises of fame and fortune. Players and their families are often conned into paying large sums of money for opportunities in the top leagues in Europe that don't materialize. And the scam is particularly widespread in developing countries across Africa. Former Chelsea star Didier Drogba announced he's partnered with Global Soccer Players Union FIFPro and the International Labor Organization with the mission to protect young African players from agent exploitation. And in an animated campaign video, Drogba has a warning: be careful who you trust.
Yes, you play well. He offers you a trial at a club abroad. He tells you he knows you'll get a contract because you're that good. All you have to do is pay the agent and all your dreams come true. Not so fast. Are you sure you can trust this person? Some of our friends paid their entire family's savings, everything they had, but they never played abroad. Instead, they were left stranded at an airport or in a shabby space under a stadium with 20 others, or living under a bridge, or even thrown in jail in Asia. And I'm not talking about one player, but thousands just like you, with the same hopes and dreams, have been cheated and left with nothing. Please, I need you to hear this. Be very careful with who you trust. Never trust a person who wants your money. And before you commit to anything, you must contact your player union. I don't want you to be the next.
Thief Pro recently surveyed over 200 male and female players from 7 African countries: Botswana, Cameroon, DR Congo, Ghana, Kenya, Zambia, and Zimbabwe. And the survey found that more than 70% had been approached by a fake agent who promised to help them move to another club. More than half were offered a trial but did not receive one. And over 40% of the players contacted never received a contract that they were prepared to sign. Thief Pro revealed that in the worst case scenario, many players find themselves stranded abroad without money to return home. And Drogba says eager young players are most at risk.
I want to say something, and this goes to every football players. Your best agent is not the guy you will trust. The best agent you can have is yourself and your performances. This never lies. So the more you perform, the more clubs are coming to watch you play. So this is something that we should not forget. It's your performance that gets the attention and of the clubs or of good agents. Then you have to check if he's listed in the FIFA agents list that will be available from the 1st of October. I think this is how it should work, but we really keen, discussing more about it with you and find solutions for you to impact the community more.
You just heard Drogba mention that on October 1st, every working football agent must be licensed by FIFA. The new regulation has been put in place to filter out fake agents. And Drogba says that same vigilance must extend beyond FIFA and football federations.
The best place is to spread the message also in schools. Not only in football academies, because sometimes talents don't only come from academies, but we're trying to reach the most stakeholders and people we can. And as I said before, this is not just a campaign just for the moment. This is something that will last. So we are really ready to receive a lot of ideas and to put them into place and make sure we have the most impact possible, because this is something that we have to tackle.
Didier Drogba is one of the most successful African players in Premier League history. The former Ivory Coast international scored 164 goals for Chelsea and clinched 4 league titles, 4 FA Cups, 3 League Cups, and the Champions League with the club. The 2-time Premier League Golden Boot winner posted a Twitter message about his newly launched campaign that read, "This partnership with FIFA Africa and the ILO appealed to me because we educate and empower young players who will no longer be fooled by fake agents. Africa needs young, talented players to grow up in the continent." Didier Drogba concludes that with the help of federations, he hopes to create a better environment for players that stay in their countries to make a living from their football career. And that is all from me, Mookbill. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. Now over to athletics, which returned to London's Olympic Stadium for the first time in 4 years on Sunday. And African athletes grasped their opportunity with great distinction. Top of a lengthy winner's list at the Diamond League meet was Letsile Tabogo of Botswana, who broke the African record in the men's 200 meters. The energetic Andy Edwards was trackside to report on the action. Sporty greetings, Andy.
Sporty greetings, Mookbill. And what an outstanding meeting it was. And Letsile Tabogo rose still further in the sprinting firmament in what is proving to be his best season. He ran 19.50 to smash the African record and finished second to the American world champion Noah Lyles, who clocked 19.47, the fastest in the world this year. The World Championships in Budapest are a month away, and Letsile Tabogo, once in the final, can be a threat to anyone.
I had the confidence, but I never expected the first time. So I'd really say with the African record, we are on the right place.
At your best, and this is your best so far, but do you think you can be a match for anybody? Say if you're in a world championship final in Budapest, do you think you have a chance of a medal or beating everyone?
In the final, everything is possible. I'm not going to say I'll get a medal, but I'm not going to say I will not get the medal. But it's everybody's game in the final. So there are mistakes there, that which if one makes mistake, you have to keep it.
There was plenty of excellence from Africa's women athletes as well. Marie-José Talou from the Ivory Coast, fresh from breaking the African record for the 100 in Monaco 3 days ago, went close with victory in 10.75, beating Jamaica's world 200-metre champion Sherika Jackson in the process. Ethiopia's Gudaf Sega is the reigning world champion in the 5,000 metres, and she ran a personal best of 14 minutes 12.29 to beat Beatrice Chebet of Kenya. Sifan Hassan from the Netherlands finished third, but in a European record, and she remains undecided about which events she'll run in Budapest. Probably a double, not for the first time, but yet to choose between the 1,500 and 5,000 or 5 and 10,000. Credit also to the Ethiopian Medina Eisa, who broke the world under 20 record in fourth place. And staying on the subject of youthful achievement, Jacqueline Chepkoech, at the age of 19, beat her namesake and world record holder Beatrice in the steeplechase. The Kenyan ran the fastest time in the world this year, 8 minutes 57.35, and first to break 9 minutes this season. It's been a long road back from injury for Wade van Niekerk. The South African world record holder for the 400 was running on the London track for the first time in 6 years, the same time span since a potentially career-ending knee injury. He won in 44.36, winning a tough home straight contest and looking strong for the World Championships.
Yeah, I think winning momentum is always a good thing, so I really just want to use this as momentum going forward, and by the time we get to Budapest, put my best foot forward and see what happens.
Do you try and put out of your mind how you felt before the injury in 2017, and you have to concentrate on you, the body now?
Yeah, it's a constant battle, a bit of a injury trauma that comes now and then, but at the same time, having the last few races as references, as a positive reference, getting great victories, getting great momentum. I really have some good wins in the bag these last few competitions. So there's at the moment, there's more to be grateful than to be fearful for. So I'm using all of that to my advantage, and hopefully I can use this to go from strength to strength.
One of the many events to relish at the World Championships in Budapest should be the women's 400 hurdles. Here in London, Femke Bol of the Netherlands showed why the rivalry between her and the American Sydney McLaughlin is pushing each other onwards and upwards. Her win was phenomenal, 51.45, and a European record, the third fastest ever, and only the American has run faster. 50,000 spectators savoured this and every moment of the action. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards in London.
And that's a wrap for the July 24th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Mukbil Yabro filling in for Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.